apologies for the confusion on what time we were starting.
We usually create an appointment with this room and get it a half hour early so we can set it up, and we usually put it separate. We just accidentally did them both together. So my apologies for that. We'll make sure we don't do that again. but we have a pretty standard agenda today, and we'll give you updates on everything. Did everyone have a chance to look over the minutes from the last meeting? And any concerns with them, or can we entertain a motion to approve them?
Motion to approve.
Someone second. All in favor? Sounds like they're approved. All right, moving on. A little bit off of the agenda, I know the last meeting that I don't think I was here for, we discussed the potential of reducing the frequency of the meeting. Initially, we had it set for this every other month because of just starting things out and getting comfortable with things. I think the opinion from at least some of you is that this is too frequent now and that we can back off. I can open that up for discussion. We're definitely open. We don't want to take your time. So we want to shoot for minimum that will meet expectations, but we want to make sure that we're still informing you and keeping you up to date. So any thoughts around that?
Quarterly would be fine.
Quarterly?
Yeah. Although I wouldn't start in January because there's a recession. If you make it earlier than that, then you can early January and jump to April, that would be good for this legislature.
So maybe we could hit... Okay, yeah. I'm not going to try and figure it out right now, but yeah.
No.
But we'll get it quarterly. It sounds like a lot of people are thinking quarterly, but we'll, of course, work around the legislative session. Any UTEC or USBE, any concerns about that? We also, for a couple of the agencies, do one-on-one, like calls. We do it with Health. We do it with USBE. If anyone else thinks that that's warranted for their agency, that's a good fill-in between the advisory board meetings, so let us know.
That might work for the Launch My Career project. We want to work with you guys specifically on, but for us, we can connect on that now that the dashboard is.
Okay.
That'd be just with you, she, or include?
I would assume Zach might need to be involved with the Launch My Career stuff.
You know, I reached out to Joe about it.
He's just been traveling, so sorry. And the last was, it was a hurry up and then nothing, which is, sorry. But I think there's the UETN connection thing, so if we can figure out maybe reconnecting on all of that, that might work. And I don't know if USBE is involved with the Launch My Career stuff. So it's mostly just the post-secondary stuff.
Since it is in a waiting mode, should we see when Spencer feels like it's not no longer in a waiting mode, maybe he could give us the signal and we could organize a regular call?
I think Spencer's mind is the trigger was the dashboard, but I don't know if UETN is on the same page. And so I'm kind of the middle person here, and I don't know anything other than...
Cool.
Spencer said, ask about Launch My Career now.
We'll reach out to Spencer, knowing that he wants to have some sort of regular. Okay.
And if UETN is just the missing factor, because I think they're the ones that said, hey, we're not ready, when we thought that we were getting a lot of pressure from them to get the data. So I'm at a loss.
Okay.
I just know that it's an issue. So.
Okay.
I think when we spoke with them, their perspective was, we're not working on this until we have a contract in place. So that was literally there. What they said. So we were like, what? We've been told to give you the data.
Yeah, and I was told that we needed the data too. So you just got the message that I got.
No, I'm not blaming anyone.
We'll reach out to Spencer and say that we heard from you that he wants regular meetings. So
something
and offer to facilitate it in any way we can.
That would
cool?
be awesome.
Okay. All right. That was it. And any other agency, I guess it would just be you. If you feel as though the quarterly thing starts to make you feel uncomfortable with our progress, then let us know and we could maybe fill in with one-on-one calls. We do like 30-minute call, update people. Yeah, just let us know. Okay. So moving on, MOU update.
Yeah, I think maybe we were under the impression that Vina was going to be here, but basically we have a biweekly call with health, and it's to move us along with this MOU, and she's we appreciate her assistance in this and getting some of you finalized. So actually just last week she sent us an update on this, so we are moving forward with that, and hopefully soon we'll have a draft to pass around. I was just reviewing your email from last week, so it looks like that's our next steps, correct? So hopefully you can use the last draft as a
kind of
a template.
The e-kits, when they talked with Stephen about that, because there were certain parts that are literature that was residual from the education, and if we needed that, the e-kits data. So,
right. Okay.
So the perfect reference is.
Okay. So, yeah, we're moving forward with that. So, any questions?
Okay. Next thing is the B20 update. So, it was published and presented on October 17th to the Education Infrastructure Committee. General feedback was positive, I think. We are going to have an upcoming patch where we're going to be incorporating gridding, or what's called bootstrapping, epilogue, as well as sort of a longer, more extensive epilogue, and finally some reactive graphs. So as you see right now, whenever you actually click on a tab, all the graphs sort of activate. Instead, we would want them to, as you scroll down, activate. Just a little bit more interesting. So, phase three will include the key metrics, which we hope to have by December. And I think, are you going to be providing an update on that today?
I can. Right now, basically, we are in the process of going through and working with it's called the Center for Assessment, a psychometrician shop, doing validating different components of it. That process of going through and make sure all the scores and the whole structure is put into a unified reporting structure that we can use for analysis. And we're just in the process of getting it from its raw form to that form. So that's where we're at.
Okay, so I think there were we're sort of targeting December. Is that still realistic or
yes?
Not? Okay, perfect.
Yes.
All right, and then the two currently undefined metrics. So those will be included in phase three. So if your agency is affected by those two currently undefined metrics, I would urge you to define them.
And that conversation was happening in the education coordination group that Milner sort of headed. It's been a little interesting to kind of coordinate between UDRC Advisory Board and them because they seem to have lost a little bit of interest on the dashboard. It's not on the agenda anymore with the meetings, so it's...
Okay.
Yeah.
I'll make sure I'll pass that along.
Thanks. But, yeah, so we'll try to... I think that's the arena where those metrics need to be defined, but it's not coming up in the conversation, so there might be, it might stall out a little bit.
Is it possible, do you know off the top of your head what those two metrics are? I know one is the SAC credential, and what's the second one?
The first one is students who...
But there's something,
so
yeah, if you look in the notes, it's,
I think I'm thinking was maybe internship or some... Yeah, not necessarily work-based learning, but enhanced learning or
That's a big... is a big... undefined.
What was said?
I think in the discussions it was something... engaging in some sort of enhanced learning while in college, like maybe an internship or a part of a club. I think that was
the direction in which they wanted to take that, but they hadn't defined exactly what that meant. And I
don't know if that can be captured.
Yeah, that it was more about the lack of being able to capture it than defining it.
Yeah.
It was that was, but then I think we need to be relieved of our obligation to build it, or they
or
need,
to
define,
need
to define it. Additionally, there was one that was costs of obtaining a degree, and it was very, as you probably know, GOMB saw it one way, and UCI saw it another way, and
we've come to kind of an agreement based on, I don't know, I can't speak for Jacob at the moment, but I know that we've got our spend per degree. A little bit different than cost per degree with respect to here's how much money we spent during the year, here's how many degrees we produced.
Okay, that's what, and that's okay. So that represents, you think that that represents sort of a,
it's
like GOMB is not going to.
All we have at the moment, and the challenge that, I mean, higher ed's cost structure is not one that you can easily just say, oh yeah, that degree is going to cost this much, because it's not a defined path to get the degree at every point in time for a student. Now, and again, cost to whom? Cost to the student, cost to the institution, cost to the state, they're all different numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And so how much we spend to produce how many degrees is about as close as we're going to get at this point in time.
When you say how much you spend, does that include only the instructional cost, or is that all expenditures, including like capital facilities?
It's not the building construction, but it's maintenance of facilities. So it's everything that is. If we get $100 million from the state to support education, all our current expense, all our personnel, all our faculty, everything. So whatever they, here's your money, what did you buy? So now we exclude research dollars and we exclude public service because those dollars do not buy student experience or degrees. So, but it's as broad as can possibly be. But it captures dollars spent on education and degrees. Now, it's not disaggregated by certificate, associate's degree, bachelor's degree, master's degree, or doctorate degree. And again, it's a one-year snapshot. It's assuming that all degrees and certificates are equal in that period of time. So we've got lots that are in progress, but you assume that it normalizes over time.
Yeah.
So.
So going back to the other one that's undefined, it says student involvement in high-impact learning practices. And it says percent of students who, and it says metric to be determined, but can include things like internships or research. And it says UCI, determine overall with the ability to drill down data for groups of students. So that's what it literally says on the P20.
Can you send that to?
I can.
It's better to send something than have me go look for it, by the way.
One thing about this dashboard is it was a pretty heavy lift, and it seems like it's just, it feels as though it's going to sit there and do nothing. So if any, I mean, you guys have been involved, you know what's on there. If you can advise us on any ways to ensure that it was time well spent, that would be helpful. But right now the group that requested it kind of moved on to different things, and I do think, though, it's full of very valuable information, and so, not to mention how pretty it is.
Yeah.
So,
I think that that's one of the challenges in general with education data. We've got lots of dashboards that we publish. We've got our data book that we put out there, and the minute that it's out there, it's like, oh, thanks.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's nothing until it's something again, and I do feel what you're...
Okay.
We'll draw
it's not just us.
Yeah. We'll draw attention to
par
it.
For
I think
the
this is... legislators that want something,
mm-hmm.
and then once it's there, they have a look at it.
And then lastly for the P20 metrics is obviously yearly updates of the metrics, so that's just like sort of maintenance work that we'll have to do in the future. The next topic is some personnel updates. I'd like to welcome Brittany Johnston to the team. To you guys, she's been with us for several weeks now. So, what is that?
Sure. Yeah.
Background on yourself and.
Okay. So I'm Brittany, so I'll be one of the data communication coordinators. My job before this, I was at the Department of Workforce Services on a different team, on their general communications team. And before, when I was there, I was helping with promotion, like media relations, creative requests, online, social media, for the Office of Child Care and Unemployment Insurance, and also the Office of Rehabilitation. And before that, I was at Science Bank. So I'm excited to hone in on data in the communications realm and help create online visualizations for future projects.
Thanks so much. So we're really happy to have her. She brings a lot of sort of communication background to our team. That will be very useful as we continue to produce more product and create marketing plans and so on. So, another personnel update is that Natalie Tarosian, which a lot of you know who she is, she'll be leading our team. So effective November 2nd, she will be going to a marketing company to work as a data scientist over there. So we wish her all the best in her new endeavor. And due to that, Skylar will actually be moving from his current position as data communications coordinator to a researcher. So we currently have a data communications coordinator position open. So if you know anyone who would be interested in that type of position, please send them our way or to the websites. In addition, we have a new project manager. Their name is Ryan Burton. So some of you are familiar with David Fyke. I know you are. I know you are as well. I'm not sure about you, Kimberly. He was the project manager on the DTS side. So this individual was promoted to manage other project managers. And so I felt that it was instrumental for us to have an individual who could give us 100% of their time for this project. So Ryan Burton has been assigned to do that work. So we've been working with him for about 2 weeks now, and he's worked really, really hard learning the projects, learning the technology, and being very much sort of on top of things. So that's really good. And we have a new back-end developer. Their name is Manjusha Gunter. Gave her sort of an overview of the UDRC a week ago. Really smart individual. I was asking questions that sort of, I think, an individual who kind of understood or got the gist of what we're doing would be asking. So we're really happy about that. And we also have an opening for a front-end developer currently. So we used to have a person who was full stack, so back-end and front-end, and now we've sort of split that into two, one person who does back-end, one person who does front-end. We have our back-end individual, and now we're trying to acquire a front-end individual, someone who does UI, UX, that type of experience. So provide you guys an update on that probably on the next advisory board meeting. Okay. Questions, comments, concerns? Seeing none, moving to the technical updates. Okay. Phase three, due to the change in our DTS hierarchy, we're going to probably be delayed about a month. So currently we have a target of a year from this month to finish phase three, we should be delayed by a month. One of the benefits, though, of having two people rather than one individual is that we're going to have some economies of scale. So we believe that this one-month delay that we currently say or predict is going to occur will probably be sort of removed by the time that by October of 2019 comes along. So that's our hope, but we're still shooting for one-month delay. So the following are complete: the external researcher profile, the external researcher application dashboard, the single sign-on procedure and security protocols for logging on, and what are we currently working on? Well, we're currently working on the application wizard, so walking the external researcher through the application process. All the screens are completed, and the majority of the flow has also been completed, so we're almost really close to being finished with that. So what needs to be completed in order for phase three to be completed as well is, well, we need a UDRC application dashboard. So that's where our data communication coordinators will manage these applications that are coming in from external researchers.
And then finally, the thing that's going to take a lot of work and a lot of lift is this data delivery system where we specify the SQL statements, a rules engine for the removal of linkable PII, and finally, the sort of the delivery of that data to the external researcher in the dashboard. So that's sort of what's kind of left to complete.
And then are we working with anybody to test this? Like, if Andrea's group wanted to be a test subject to see how it would facilitate their needs kind of thing?
So I think that's a great question. And our plan that we have sort of already set in motion is we've had several individuals come to us and ask us for data already. And so our reply to them has been, we don't have it yet. The system is not up and running. But we've kept all their information, meaning their contact information, what are they looking for, and so on. And so our plan is to, once the system is up and running, is to reach out to these individuals and say, could you please test our system, make sure that it's meeting your needs. So, you know, if Andrea has a request or whatever, we could also include them in the testing process. And we also do user acceptance testing internally, meaning DTS does the user acceptance testing of the technology itself. So, but of course, you can never, you know, fully check everything and dot all I's before you produce something and your users are actually using it. So, but yeah, we'll have a process to test that out. So, okay. So moving forward with that. Next thing is research update. So no new research has been released other than the P20 metrics. So I know that in the last advisory board meeting, we talked about including this new item, which is a research update where we tell you what's been released, to whom, and what, and so on. So nothing to update there other than the P20 stuff. But we are moving, now the P20 metrics are complete, we're moving down our list of research agenda. And the next item is research on the effect of working and going to school at the same time, so concurrently. So Natalie was assigned this project. Since she's leaving, Allison has been assigned now to spearhead this research. So the literature review has been complete. We're having internal conversations on how exactly are we going to methodologically approach this, especially since the wage broker data has some issues that we're sort of trying to overcome, things like the fact that we don't have number of hours worked or hourly wage and so on. So working on that.
The effect of working, going to school on what?
So on scholastic performance. So yeah.
So grades.
Grades.
How long it takes them to get their
retention.
Degree,
yeah. How long it takes. These are all questions. These are all things that we still need to actually talk about. Like what exactly are we looking to mm-hmm. ascertain here? So.
Is this a legislative-based research request? Where did?
No. So this came from when we met with all the agencies. Due to the mandate of SB 194 to create a research agenda, we wanted to include all of our partners. And so this was an outcome of having a conversation with Joe. And we sat down and said, well, what would you should be interested in for us to do? And so there's several of them in the research agenda, and this was the one that
kind of rose to the top.
Sort of rose to the top. It seemed like one that we could actually tackle relatively easy. Relative in quotation marks. Yeah. So, we'll be working, of course, with your group, Kimberly, and every single step, we'll be making sure that they provide subject matter expertise to the questions we may have or to the conclusions we create and so on. So, and of course, there'll be a chance for your group to do peer reviewing of our work before we. It's all in the governance document. So. Questions, comments, concerns? Okay. That's all. Oh, sorry, one more thing. We're going to start working on the future research agenda. We're not quite sure about the timing yet. The reason why I'm saying this to you is so that you can then go back to the individuals in your group who do research or whomever you think you should include and have a conversation about, like, sort of a really meaningful conversation about what things you would want to for the UVRC to answer that you believe would be useful. So I'm giving you fair warning and plenty of time to do that, because I'll probably reach out to you, to this group, in the next 3 months to actually button down the research agenda or start having meetings about the research agenda. And you guys would probably, so the items on the research agenda that are UDOH, I don't think really align with sort of the data, or because it's been expanded now and so on, so I think you guys really should have some good conversations about that. So that's it.
Do you have a time frame you got to have this item, like before the end of the year, middle, legislative session, and so
legislative session runs from what, January until late February, is that right? Or
it's like the third week in January, the second week in March.
Okay. We can maybe start having a conversation after that, so late March. Is that good? Sound good?
I'm just take some time with that word, so.
For sure. For sure. Okay.
Anyone have anything?
Have you got outside requests for data? Applying to get data from them?
Yeah, like I was informing Kimberly, I'm keeping a list of individuals who have requested. We've had to turn them down because the system is not up and running. Like, that part of the system is not up and running. Yeah. But yeah, I think I have 4 requests so far. So.
I think we were discussing last week the possibility of doing some outreach once things are ready to go. I mean, people may not know that they can come to us, so we're talking about the potential for developing some sort of outreach system and maybe some trainings, things of that nature, so that we draw people in and so that they're using the data. Anything else? So I'm thinking, as I was sitting here, I'm thinking that we'll probably try to squeeze one more meeting in before the legislative session. Otherwise, we'd probably wait too long. So we'll find a time for one more meeting before the legislative session, and thereafter we'll go on a quarterly basis. And we'll make sure that we're clear on our start time and the appointment. Okay. Anything else? All right. Motion to adjourn. Second. All those in favor, everyone, ready to adjourn. Okay.